Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
This is Nicole Hines with CJSF 90.1 FM, and I'm here with Juno Award-winning artist Crystal Shawanda to chat about her upcoming show at PNE's Tattoos Festival, which is celebrating Indigenous music, art, and food, and that's actually happening on September 5th. And then we're going to also chat about her upcoming album, Homesick Indian Blues. Crystal, thank you so much for joining me on CJSF. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much.
Oh my gosh, I'm so happy to have the opportunity to chat with you. One of my first questions is, can you, especially for listeners who might just be like hearing you for the first time, can you share a bit about like what your journey has been to just becoming the amazing artist that you are today?
Well, it's been a long one. I feel like I have lived several lives. You know, it's like I've been to the top and then back to the bottom and then rebuilt myself many, many times. So, you know, it's been a musical journey. I grew up on the Wequemcong unceded First Nations and was surrounded by a lot of love, music, and humor and resilience by example, by the people around me. And music was like medicine. It's what got me through the hard times. And my family showed me that that's what music could do for you. It could be a friend. It could be a shoulder to cry on. And so I got on stage when I was 6 years old and started getting paid to sing when I was 10. And I recorded my first album in Nashville when I was 12. And then I moved to Nashville when I was 16. And I signed my first record deal when I was 25, I believe, with RCA Records. And I released my first single, my first album, and I became the first Indigenous woman to have a number one song in Canada and America and to debut in the top 20 on the American country music Billboard sales charts. And then after that, I switched over to blues music and became the first Indigenous woman on the top 10 American Billboard blues sales chart and the first Indigenous woman to win Blues Album of the Year at the Juno Awards. So, you know, it's been a lot of, you know, it's been a very colorful journey.
Yes, and accolades on accolades on accolades. I love it. I love it. I love it. And
thank you.
Because, you're so welcome. You're so welcome. And, you know, I love that you shared this because, you know, you are performing on September 5th at PNE's Tattoos Festival. For guests that decide to come to the festival and see you perform at 7 p.m. that evening, what can they expect from your show?
My show, it's a very high-energy, family-friendly show. And it's family-friendly, but it's also very much a party for all ages to enjoy. I actually perform with my family. My husband, Dwayne Strobel, is my guitar player. And our daughter, Jawande, who is 9 years old, sings backgrounds and plays tambourine and does a little interpretive dance and comedy. And we also sing a couple of duets together. And we also sing... one of the duets is a song, actually my biggest hit country music song, which is called You Can Let Go Now, Daddy. And we, even though I do blues now, we still perform it, but we perform it together. So it's become a highlight of a show that my fans, whether they're country or blues, that they really have grown to look forward to. And they've been watching her grow up on stage. And we perform songs from all my past albums, from country to blues. And it's just a high energy, fun time. So it's you know, it features a little bit of everything. And it's, and we've performed at the Tattoos Festival last year and we had so much fun. We had such an incredible crowd. And it's one of those things where it's like you have the crowd that's already there. But as we start to play the music and people start hearing us, you know, from the playland, they start coming over and they're like, actually last year we had so many people who came over who said, I didn't know you were playing here, but I heard your voice and I knew it was your voice. So I'm like, oh, that's the best compliment ever.
Absolutely. 100%. Okay. So I just listened to Come On To Me, which is a beautiful cover of the Mavericks classic and the first single from your upcoming album. Would you mind talking a little bit about that song?
Yeah, for sure. It's one of my favorite songs by the Mavericks. And, you know, my husband and I, my husband produced the album and we're both longtime fans of the Mavericks. And we actually we both got our start down at Tootsie's Orchid Lounge, which is a honky tonk down on Broadway and Nashville. We used to play for tips there and we used to play in the back room. They stuck us in the back room because they didn't know what to do with us. And it was kind of a dead zone. Like nobody made money. Nobody went back there. But we built up a real buzz about it and it became like the it place to be. And we had songwriters and producers and executives coming down and other artists. And one of those artists was Raul Malo, the lead singer of the Mavericks. And he would come in and sit at the back of the room with his hat cut it down, you know, and we knew that he didn't want to be bothered. But we never bothered anybody. We always just were grateful that they would come and listen to us. And especially somebody like Raul, who, you know, was never the quintessential country music singer. And yet I grew up watching him on CMT. So the fact that somebody whose voice I admired so much was taking the time to come and watch me was so encouraging. It was like those breadcrumbs, you know, that keep you going, like I'm on the right track. And he was also a perfect example of embracing all the parts about yourself that are so different and unique and celebrating them and letting those things set you apart from the rest of the pack. And so we had the idea to do this song and the dream was to collaborate with the Mavericks and with Raul, but unfortunately Raul had cancer. And so we pressed the brakes on the project. And unfortunately he passed away last year. And so I thought, well, I guess that's it. I guess we'll drop this song. But my husband said, no, this is the time more than ever to pay tribute to somebody who was such a big influence. So we finished the song and we invited Eddie Perez, who's a guitar player from the Mavericks, to be a part of it. And he came in and he played guitars and backgrounds and he told stories about Raul because they were like brothers on the road. And it made it the tribute that much more special, you know, somebody who was so close to Raul to be a part of it. And then our daughter sang backgrounds on the song as well. So it was just one of those moments where it's like, you know, I'm not even really care how the song does. I'm just so happy we did it because it's just a page from my heart, you know, and something that was so important for us to do.
Absolutely. And now let's segue to the album itself, Homesick Indian Blues. Can you talk a bit about the album and like what, you know, listeners can expect when they take a listen?
For sure. Yeah, I'm so excited about it. You know, this album, it's really about finding your way home to who you really are, not necessarily a physical place, but who you are inside. You know, I think no matter who we are, no matter what your background is, when we're going through this journey of life, we're always trying to fit in, right? And along the way, we lose parts of ourselves to the point where we forget who we really are and the things we want, the things that make us happy, the things we enjoy and the dreams we have and our purpose in life. And so, and that's what the album's about, is going, sometimes we have to go back to where it all started. So all the songs on this album, you know, are kind of represent pivotal moments in my journey in life. You know, where they completely change the trajectory of my life, you know, and some of them are because they're so, like the song You Win Again, there's a cover of You Win Again by Hank Williams, you know, when that's a song that I used to sing when Raul used to come in and watch me play, you know. There's, I did a cover by Jeff Healey, and, you know, Jeff Healey is one of those artists that, you know, he was a Canadian and he had international success as a blues artist. And he was a perfect example that, you know, everybody has their own reasons for singing the blues and that blues music can encompass everybody and include everybody. And so that always inspired me. And I'm so sorry about all the dogs. I don't know if you can hear that.
No, we love it. It's community radio. We love it.
But you know, and the album, that's what it's really all about. It's about that journey. And then the title of the album, Homesick Indian Blues, you know, it's really about identity and controlling our narrative. You know, as Indigenous people, we've been called so many things, you know, like a long time ago, we were told we were Indians, and then it became Native American, and then Aboriginal and First Nations, and then we're Indigenous, you know, but yet our status card still says Indian status card, you know, or as you come into our community, welcome to Wiquimacong Unceded Indian Reservation. You know, so it's opening up that dialogue and that conversation.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so I love your energy. I love your vibes. My question to you is, like, how do you stay inspired and then even grounded at the same time?
You know, I stay inspired by just remembering what it's all about, the life around me. I learned years ago that, you know, life is the true inspiration. Mm-hmm. You know, how paying attention, having something outside of the business, outside of worrying about whether my music's being played on radio or whether we're getting nominated for awards, but stepping away from the business and making sure I'm spending time with my family back home on the reservation. Like right now today, I'm at my parents' place in Wiquimacong. And so every time I'm passing through, I stop in to spend some time with them, and because that's the real life right here, you know, slowing down, watching my daughter spend time with my parents, making those memories, you know, being our little family, my husband and my daughter, when we're on the road, stepping away from the chaos of it all, whether, you know, we go to the zoo or walk, going for a walk in the park and listening to her talk about the things that she's interested in. You know, these are the joys of my life, you know, spending time with my family. And that's what really refuels my tank, you know, when I spend time with my family, I'm ready to go again, and I'm ready to write and record, and my purpose, I'm inspired, you know, that I feel so grateful for this beautiful life that I just want to keep on, you know, honoring it in the best way that I can.
Absolutely. And after the Tattoos Festival, do you have other upcoming shows?
Yes, after the Tattoos Festival, we're going to be heading over to Drumheller, and we're going to be playing the brand new Badlands Amphitheater. So this will be my first time playing that venue, so I'm really, really excited. I'm going to be playing the show and sharing the stage with my friend Jay Turner, who I've known for many, many years. She's a Indigenous country music singer. And we actually met so many years ago in the meet and greet line. I was just played a show, and she came in to meet me and get an autograph. And she got emotional when she met me. And we've been friends ever since. And we've written some songs together that have gone on her albums. So that it'll be really fun to, you know, spend the day with a very good friend. And also Blue Moon Marquee will be there, and so many others. And just like the show and tattoos, JB, the First Lady, is going to be there. Yay. Shawnee Kish. You know, that's a great thing about going out and playing these shows where there's so many of us on the lineup, is we get to catch up with each other.
Absolutely. So how can we continue to catch up with you then? How can we stay connected with you and see, you know, what you've got on the go? Are you in the online streets?
For sure. Everybody can follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. I'm really interactive with everybody on Facebook and Instagram. So hopefully everybody come over there and give me a follow and say hi. And also Spotify is really great for us artists. So if you want to check out, you know, my full catalog, you can go there and make sure, if you are on Spotify, to add me to your personal playlist as well, because that really helps us artists out a lot these days.
Absolutely. And I'll make sure that, you know, we include the links so it's easy for people to connect with you as well in the show notes. Crystal, I just want to thank you so much for joining me today. You have been such a pleasure. I appreciate you, and I hope you have an incredible show.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you squeezing me in today, and hope to see everyone out at the shows and check out my new music. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And again, guys, Crystal Shawanda is performing at Peonies Tattoos Festival at the Freedom Mobile Stage on September 5th at 7 p.m.
Chasing dreams never seemed like a choice to me. can mold yourself into a shape you were meant to be. Chance born forlorn in a mystery. Always told this was a place you were meant to see. Oh. Fill me now, you're what I need. Untie these thoughts that have been binding me. Move on from the side that's ever screen. Break down these walls that have been keeping me.
Listening to CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We are rooted in community support and engagement. Thank you for helping us stay on air.
Nicole Hines with CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, and I'm here with four-time Juno Award-winning OG Cree singer-songwriter Ace Nabi, who released his latest EP, Timelines, earlier this year. And we'll also be performing at the Come Toward the Fire Festival happening later this month at the Chan Center, as well as venues across the UBC campus on unceded Musqueam territory from September 18th to 20th. So, Ace Nabi, thank you so much for joining me today. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I mentioned in the intro that you recently released the EP Timelines earlier this year. Can you tell us a bit about that album?
Yeah. It's these stripped back, reimagined versions of songs that I've already put out. So it's like I've put out three projects prior in the last 4 years. Mm-hmm. And so each of those previous records were pretty, you know, they're full production, produced full, like these massive songs. And I knew I was going to be taking time this year to kind of just work on a new record. And so to kind of put this out, I feel like a lot of people were introduced to me just with me and my guitar and my pedals and you know, And that's how I did a lot of touring early on in my career. And I just never actually had like a physical, like recordings of any of these acoustic songs to kind of, you know, for fans, you know, for people to kind of relive how they were introduced to me. And so this was definitely like a project that was meant for the fans who have just been with me since day one. And and to kind of just give them something while I kind of disappear for a little bit and work on new music. But yeah, the process of making the album was pretty crazy too, because it has been such a roller coaster of life in the last 4 years. And so to kind of go back and revisit these songs and kind of have this time to reflect and just think about these last 4 years and put myself back to where I was when I was originally writing these songs was kind of like that was such an interesting and beautiful process. You know, a lot happened in the 4 years. I feel like every time I go on tour, I'm a different person. Every time I put out a record, I'm somebody else. So it's interesting kind of going back and kind of, you know, sometimes in some ways kind of looking at little, it's almost like kind of looking like at baby photos of yourself, you know?
Yeah. I love that. I think that like artists don't always get the opportunity to do that. So I love that you've definitely done that, and you kind of answered my second question about your journey. So thank you so much for that. My question about this album still is, like, what would you say that you're most proud about when you think about this project?
Yeah, I think just how much we accomplished in the last 4 years, but not even just from like a musical standpoint, but even from growth and connection and yeah, it was, I think it's crazy to kind of revisit some of, like, especially from the first record. Like, I think one of the hardest parts about this record was, like, I knew I wanted to take two songs from each record, and I think that provided the challenge in itself, because then there was some I was like, ooh, this, I would have really liked to do that one too. But yeah, revisiting, especially like Nomads is you know, from the Watton record and kind of the first song that came out on that project, and it was the final song we recorded on this project, and it's kind of just this full circle moment. And it's just like, kind of, you know, when I made the Watton record, it was interviewing my grandfather, and he's since passed now. But to kind of go back there and kind of revisit him and these stories again was kind of, you know, this emotional but like kind of just beautiful reminder of, you know, how far you come in such a small time, short amount of time.
My next question is, you know, when you think about your early days of your career, and especially with this album that kind of, you know, brings you back to those days, how has that been an inspiration to the new work that you are working on?
I think it's definitely just growth and challenging myself. It's interesting because I don't find that it ever gets easier. You know, I thought about that a lot. Like, you know, I got the Juno for Songwriter of the Year, and like, you know, I didn't feel like I still feel like I'm just kind of throwing spaghetti at a wall sometimes. And it never gets easier. It's always just like challenging, but that's what I really love about it. And I think that's just, you know, people just put themselves in that position when they come to love anything that they do. And I'm sorry, did I answer the question?
Yes, you did. I love it. You totally did. Yeah. And before I shift into the Come Toward the Fire Festival, you know, you had mentioned that you are working on some new work. And like, what is sort of next for you that you're able to share at this moment?
Yeah, you know, I think just continuing to push myself sonically and you know, I think a lot of music I've put out has been kind of from these lived experiences and so I'm just experimenting with different kind of writing styles too, and just kind of, you know, making songs about hope, if that makes sense.
Yes, it makes total sense and so fitting for these times for sure. So yes, it totally makes sense. Now I'm going to shift a little bit to chat about the Come Toward the Fire Festival. You'll be one of the headliners on the closing night, which is Sunday, September 20th at the Chan Center for Performing Arts. Is this your first time performing at this festival?
Yeah. I know we were invited before and then it didn't work out. So it's really exciting to be a part of it now, and especially with the lineup too. Like so many, I know so many of these folks, and they're such incredible artists. Like, I did a tour last year, and I got to share the stage with a bunch of artists like CB, Love, Samaya, Logan Stats. They're all good buds. Burnstick. I love those humans. They're so funny. there will be like a lot of belly laughs to be had.
I love that. Do you get the opportunity to perform with a lot of artists that you find amazing? Like, do you get that opportunity a lot?
Yeah, definitely. I'm like, has anyone been like, no, everyone has been terrible. it's like, honestly, sometimes I pinch myself and like, it's just like, because obviously when you get to play festivals, you get to share the stages with like some, you know, people that you're like, wow, I only ever thought I'd listen to you in my headphones and not, you know, maybe go to your concert and buy a ticket. Because yeah, there's been so many artists, you know, like I remember when we did Oshiega, like, you know, we played the same stage as Kendrick Lamar, and you know, and so many incredible artists, especially within Canada too. Like I remember even, oh gosh, how long was that ago? Was that maybe, when were the Junos in Toronto? Was that 2022? It was like 4 years ago.
I think so.
I was invited to play like the honoring ceremony, which like I wasn't actually supposed to play it. It was just like I was at a sweat lodge there was this elder who was organizing it. And I think that it was the first time they were organizing, like doing that kind of event. They're like, oh, what do you do? And I'm like, I play music. And they're like, oh, you should play this event of organizing. And I don't think either of us knew that like it was supposed to be for like the nominees.
Oh.
not random native guy from the sweat lodge. But no, it was like we like had such a like a really intense meeting and like a really beautiful sweat lodge ceremony. And anyways, I went over there and I was like, yeah, I'll play. And then I like got onto the stage, and then there was just like all these incredible indigenous artists that like I just knew. I didn't realize where I was, and then when I got on that stage I was just like, oh wait, I don't think I'm supposed to be here. Because it was like Fawn Wood and like William Prince and Snotty Nose Rez Kids and like all these people who have just been like absolutely crushing it in the scene. And so it's crazy now to like, get to play these kinds of events and like, you know, come towards the Fire Festival and see all these incredible artists and be like, wow, I'm actually like friends with and have met most of these people. And yeah, I'm lucky enough to call a bunch of them friends. And right. Yeah, it's just a really beautiful community. So I really do love coming to be invited to be a part of these kinds of events.
Love it. And at the festival specifically, what would you say that guests can expect from the songs that you plan to perform?
Yeah, you know, I think like I will be playing some of these like stripped back songs from the Timelines EP. We'll be kind of, yeah, potentially messing around with some new songs. So a little sneak peek perhaps, but yeah, I think, you know, kind of putting out that Timelines EP and kind of like honoring how like I originally started and kind of going and doing a tour like that and kind of doing this again, because I think, yeah, the next record I work on will be kind of a bigger production with more kind of band elements and electronic elements kind of forward. So yeah, like I,